third word I entitled, Can God Test You? Can God test you? Amen. And sorry about that. Life is full of small beginnings. I can remember the time, the very first time Kareen, amen, she took her first steps. It was at a Thanksgiving dinner at a friend's house. I can also remember the time when she was so excited when we bought her sister Keziah from the hospital, amen. And I saw the expression on her face and the very beginning of developing a sister relationship. And I also could remember a lot of small beginnings in the things of life that happened to me, where in time, they have grown into maturity. And God's promises to Abraham started with a small beginning, with his son Isaac. And God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, God told Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that the blessings that so that you will be a blessing, and all the families of the earth will be a blessing through you. You see, every area in the Christian life starts with one simple word: obedience. As for the Christian, accepting Christ is only a small beginning of what the Lord has in store for you, not only in this life, but in the life to come when Christ comes back and reigns on earth. Repentance is only a small beginning. Salvation is only a small beginning to God's plan for your life. However, there's nothing more urgent in God's people today than the act of obedience. One Christian old-timer said these words when he was telling the story that how they used to sit together at church, amen, and they debate, amen, and argue, amen, what the Bible meant here and there. And then one day they just decided to go out and do what the Bible says. And then they found out what they meant when they went out and obeyed the word of God instead of just talking about it. They acted out in obedience. Christians can be very critical in many areas of life, especially of the Bible. Especially, for instance, when you go out to witness, how to witness to people. They will say things like, that's not how what the Bible says. Or they say, that's not how you're supposed to do it. Or they say, that's not what you're supposed to say. But they themselves never will take up a flyer for themselves and go on the streets and invite people out and find out for themselves how hard the hearts of men and women are today. They talk about witnessing, but they never obey God's word to actually do it. And I've come to find out that God's blessings flows in obedience. And this goes for every area of the Christian life. Abraham is the father of our faith, and being the father of our faith, God tested him in obedience. It says in Genesis 12, 1 through 4, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, from your people, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and will be blessed, and I will bless those who will bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went. Can you imagine how that conversation was like with his wife Sarah? Baby, we're packing up. We're moving. And she'd be like, okay, moving where? I don't know yet, but God said he will show me. How many of you know wives need to know details of the plan? You know, we could just get up and go, but they need to know details. You know, they need to know what things to pack, what things to go. God said, he will make me into a great nation. And Sarah might be thinking, oh, making a great nation from who? I'm barren. We have no son. She has questions and he has very few answers. But he knows that God called them And nonetheless, obedience was required for this promise of blessing to come to pass. Which begs the question, what have you left to follow God? What have you left to follow God? Abraham left his country, his people, his family when God called them. And it wasn't just Abraham who left everything. Sarah had family too. Sarah had her friends. She had her comfort. She had her will as well. She left everything. And I'm not just talking about what you have left that was sinful. That is expected. I'm talking about what you have left that you love. Jesus called 12 men. He said, follow me. That requires obedience. But it also requires for things to be left behind. They couldn't bring their whole life with them. Matthew couldn't be a tax collector and also a follower of Jesus Christ, being wherever where Jesus was. He had to leave some things behind. John and James, they had to leave behind the family business. And I don't know how the father was like, but maybe he was more joyful because they found the Messiah. They found something that was more worthy to walk in obedience. You see, Christians have this idea like this. I got this plan. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And God's going to bless it. As if God's going to come down and see all the wonderful things that you plan for your life, all the wonderful thoughts that you have for your life, and say, I'm on board of what you have for your life. No, it's more like this. Nice plans, but I got this for your life. And it requires obedience and sacrifice. It's all over the Bible. Your will versus God's will. It's all over the Bible. Your will might be looking like well-watered land, like the story of Lot. A beautiful picture where you can raise your children, where you can have a dog as well. Have a beautiful house, a white picket fence with no struggle at all. Like Lot, when he looked to the east and to the west, he said, I'm going to a place where it looks easy and comfortable and where it looks prosperous. The word might not be go there, but God's word might be stay here. Will you obey? He told his Isaac, stay in Egypt. It wasn't go, it was a word of stay. Abraham lived a simple life of obedience. And when God appeared to Abraham when he was 99 years old, he said he will establish his covenant between Abraham and him and will greatly increase Abraham's numbers. And the sign of this covenant is circumcision. It says in Genesis 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and greatly increase your numbers. In verse 10, it says, and every male among you shall be circumcised. For verse 12, for the generations to for every male to come among you who is 8 days years old must be circumcised. And then we find out when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham listened and obeyed. On that very day, verse 23, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those who were born in his household who were was brought with his money. Every male in his household was circumcised just as God told him. This serves a great lesson to every believer. Whenever God speaks to you, do it right away. Whenever God speaks to you, do it right away. Don't delay. Don't linger. Because the devil can tempt you in the delay to disobey. It's like the prophet who got killed by a lion in the Old Testament when God specifically told him not to eat any bread or drink any water and returned a different way when you go take this message to the king. Well, he came, but he went and told his message to the king. He went to a different way. But then the story goes on. It goes to say that he listened to another voice. He found the old prophet. And the old prophet was lying to him. And the old prophet said to the other prophet, he said, you know what? God spoke to me. He said, it's okay. You can come to my house and you can eat bread and drink water. And he listened to that voice instead of the Lord's voice. He disobeyed. Meaning this, whenever God speaks to you, whether in word or by prayer, do it all the way. Because halfway obedience is equal to disobedience. You can't tell God, well, I went 50%, I went 70%. God sees it as full disobedience. You didn't go all the way. You didn't do what all I said to do. You see, Abraham was able to listen to the Lord when there was a deep conflict in his marriage with Sarah regarding his son Ishmael to be sent away. You see, when Hagar was pregnant, Abraham had no problem of sending Hagar away into the desert. You read the story. He said, you do what you want to do with her. You decide. It's okay. Whatever you decide is okay with me. There was no emotional attachment. Hagar didn't mean anything to him. Neither did the baby in his womb. But when the baby was born now, and as time passes and the years passes, Ishmael loved his father. And Abraham loved his son Ishmael. And now the conflict arises again. Sending them away was not as easy as before, because there's an emotional attachment. But nonetheless, Abraham had to listen to the voice of God, even when it was hard. You see, all these steps of obedience leading to trusting in God, it says this, that God has the best interest for you. God has the best interest for you in your life. You see, the ultimate test in your life will be the test of, do you fear God? Do you fear God above all else? Every Christian will face this test. God will test your heart at some point of your life. And he has the right to test us. God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. In Genesis 22, it says this. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Notice that this deals with God in the area of, do you fear God? It deals with, if you love someone, if you love something more than God, take your son Isaac, your only son, whom you love. Do you fear God? It has to deal with something that you love or someone you love. Listen, I love my family back in Texas. But my love for God and my love for them will be tested. And it has been. And my love for my wife and my love for my children, God has the right to test it. He has the right to test it. Jesus said, he put it in this way, if you love your mother or father more than me, you're not worthy of me. He's saying, when I call you, act in obedience. Listen to his voice. And I might know that might sound like a lot to think about and a lot to ask for. But God tested Abraham first by asking him to leave his father's house, to leave all that you know, Abraham. All the comfort, all the friends, and I will show you a land that I will show to you. And through his walk with God and on this journey, God provided and God protected him and his wife. What does that say? It's a testimony. It's a testimony that God, you can trust God leading you. A testimony of God guiding you.
And then you read later on, when God called him, he goes, and immediately when he arrives to the land where God showed him, there's a famine in the land. And he had to go down to Egypt. And in Egypt, he was forced to lie about his wife. Imagine how that conversation was like. Don't tell him that I'm married to you. Just tell him that you're my sister. But you see Sarah's obedience to her husband. You know, talking about sticking up for your wife, bro. You know, he was scared for his life. But God kept Pharaoh from touching Sarah. That's another testimony about God's protection. And God provided for Abraham again after Lot separated from him. When Lot chose the land that was well watered versus the land that was not. God was faithful to provide for his family and all his herdsmen. And then Abraham had to go rescue Lot, his nephew, and all the people in Sodom. His men, 518 it records, versus 5 kings. The odds were stacked against them, but God was with them. That's another testimony about God's deliverance. And again, Abraham later on lied about his wife again when he was facing the king of Amalek. God protected Sarah from being touched. And later God provided for his son Ishmael and his mother Hagar when they were in the desert dying of thirst. Do you see the pattern? Testimony after testimony, God has provided. God showed his faithfulness. Why? So when he speaks to your life, you can obey. You could trust in him because you could look back in the past and always count all the times where God delivered, God came through, that he will never let you down. That's why testimonies are so important. You don't have to lean on your own understanding. You could trust in God when he speaks his will over your life. When he speaks to endure. When he speaks to just hang on a little longer. You can obey. Because he has never let you down. I can remember a time in the past where I seriously thought about going back to Texas. And my main drive was going back to Texas is because I wanted to reach my brothers for Jesus more effectively. And this comes just after years of serving in the Chula Vista Church for many years. And I was involved in ministry, so was my wife as well. And I knew I was called to preach. And I was thinking of it all, how it would work out. If I go back to Texas, you know, how I'm just going to be plugged into a church. Because my desire was to obey God's calling for my life. To preach his word. And I wrestled with a lot of things. I went to my pastor. I sat down with him. I told him what was good for my life to go back to Texas. And he said these words. If you decide to go, we will have to shut down the children's church. We will have to shut down the children's church ministry because we don't have anybody else left to teach the kids. And after many days of praying and fasting, some time passed, I felt the Lord saying to me these words, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." I mean, come on, Texas, the motherland, you know, where it's cheaper to live, where you can buy a house cheaper, gas is cheaper, closer to my family, you know, all these other benefits. And even moving to Texas, I will get a higher pay raise. I mean, all these benefits versus chilling church. I mean, come on, who makes that kind of choice? For some children church ministry. You make that choice when you obey God's will for your life versus your will. When you have a surrender heart. When you say, God, whatever you ask for me, I will do because I love you and I fear you. I tell you the truth, every believer will face this test. Where God wants to see if you fear him. We can see it as Do you love God more than anything else, including your own will? God, Jesus put it like this to Peter. Peter, do you love me more than these? You see, it doesn't have to be about family. What did Peter love more than these? It was fishes. He was fishing. Jesus spoke to those words while he was fishing. It doesn't have to be family. It could be recreational. If there was anything besides preaching the gospel, hands down, Peter would be out there fishing instead. And I have known men who left God to pursue their own dreams instead of God's dream. God wants to see what's inside your heart. And for that to happen, he's going to have to test it. Don't let the element of time and change lower your fear and lower your love for God as you live for Christ. Because I've known people who start off good. They start off bold. But you add a little prosperity to their life. You add a little family to their life. And their love for God is not at the same level as before. And it's not like those things are evil in themselves, but those things can take the prominent place in your heart for God. Just like we spoke, mother and father and family is bad. No. But that place where God wants his kingdom and him to be first in your life, that's the spot he wants. He won't settle for second best. God told Abraham, go sacrifice your son. And we read in Genesis 22, verse 3, it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two young men with him and his son Isaac. Did you catch that? Did you catch what it said? When God told him, he did it right away. There was no delay. He rose up early in the morning and did things that and questions will pop up naturally in his mind as he went along. Mind battles, warring in his mind. I mean, even his son Isaac had questions. He said, Dad, we got the fire, we got the wood, but where's the lamb? His son has questions. Listen, it's okay to have questions about what God's asking you to do, but nonetheless, obedience is required. And you know the story. God provided a ram instead of sacrificing his son. It says in verses 11 through 13, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do any harm to him. For now I know that you fear God. You see the difference? You see the difference where God sees it as do you fear God and where we see it as do you love God? God sees it as do you fear me above all things, above everyone? And it goes on to say, seeing that you now have withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Had you ever wondered why God gave him a ram instead of a lamb? I mean, that's what sometimes I read in the Bible. I'm like, you know, why not a lamb, God? Why was it a ram? It's because if God would have provided a lamb, people would have said, see, God has provided the lamb that was promised. To think of it, even Isaac was looking for a lamb instead of a ram. A lamb will be easier to lead up the mountain because they are animals of obedience. Having a ram will actually make more sense. Thinking about the mountain terrain, it's more rugged and it's more tougher to climb. If they had a lamb, they would probably have to carry it on their shoulders up the mountain. But notice what Abraham called this place once God called them out to him. Abraham, Abraham, not to harm his son. And show them that the ram was caught in the thicket. It says in verse 13 through 14, Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As is said today, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Do you see what's happening? Obedience reveals revelation. Abraham had a revelation, but it was all due to his obedience. Obedience reveals revelation. He opened up his eyes. He has a new testimony now. The Lord will provide. And then he spoke prophetically, on this mount the Lord shall provide. What? An offering, a sacrifice. On the very same mountain, thousands of years later, Jesus, the God's Lamb, will be sacrificed, his life for the sins of the world. You see, Abraham's obedience made a way for Jesus to be the Lamb of God. To be obedient. Did you ever think about that? That your obedience can cause others to be obedient to God? Can you live a life of exampleship? Where your obedience can lead others to be obedient to God's voice, to be obedient to God's will? Can your obedience can influence people to live for God? Can your obedience lead people to sacrifice for God and prove that He's God that will always provide for your needs? Can you trust in God's will because He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides and will provide? Imagine how many sermons preached throughout the ages because of Abraham's revelation. It was due because of his obedience. His obedience. I mean, history and sermons could have been preached differently if you ever think about it. If Abraham tried to offer something else instead of what God was asking for. Isn't that what Cain's story is about? Offering something else than what God was asking for? God said, won't you do right if you do something, if you offer what I'm asking you for? God would not settle for second best. He would test your heart. He would test your love to see what's really inside your heart. Offering Isaac was Abraham's best. And as you read the story, you notice that it's his last test of obedience. Afterwards, God rested from testing Abraham's heart. Because he found that Abraham's heart was fully devoted to him. Because God is always after the heart. God is always after the heart. And God said, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Do you know how old Abraham was when God called him at the beginning? Any trivia questions here? 75 years old. That was in your head? You should have said it. 75 years old. Meaning this. Don't get discouraged by saying to yourself, oh man, I should have served Christ when I was younger. Forget all that. Serve Christ now. God has perfect timing, and He called you right now. God called Abraham when he was 75, and Abraham started a life of obedience at 75. Obey His word now. God can still bless your obedience no matter what age you are or wherever you're at in life. God can start drawing your family members to salvation because of your obedience. They can start asking you, why do you go to church so much now? And you can say, because God's changed my life, man. Jesus is real. I was living like a sinner. Never thought about God in my life. Living for my own life for many years. But God forgave me of my sins. And He changed me from the inside out. And I decided to live for Him because I love Him and I fear Him. That's why. Last thought I have is that God will accomplish all that He plans to do in your life through your obedience. I say that one more time. God will accomplish all that He plans to do in your life through your obedience. And it starts with one testimony after another testimony and another. God just showing Himself faithful to you over and over again. And then when this time comes where God wants to see what's really inside your heart, after all the faithfulness, after all the blessing, He's going to test that heart to see if it's really His. And you can look back. God's been faithful. God's always been faithful. He will never let me down. And I could trust Him when He speaks to my life, when He asks for it. Amen. Let's give God praise, amen, for His word, amen. God, we